Welcome to the broadcast today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here with First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And I'm also the founder of From His Heart Ministries, heard every weeknight on American Family Radio at 6 p.m. Central Time. I'm filling in for Dan Celia as he recovers from COVID pneumonia. I'm joined in the studio today by my lovely wife, or with my lovely wife, Debbie. Debbie, say hello.
Hello, hello.
And yesterday we talked about the need to know how to encourage yourself in the Lord. We use that scripture from 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, where they were talking about stoning David. And the scripture said that David was greatly distressed, as you can imagine, and he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And so that is so important for a Christian to know how to do that, to go back to the basics of the Christian life and say, I know that God loves me. I know that he's good. I know that he's using and working all things together for good because I love him. And so I'm going to put this, as James chapter 1 says, I'm going to put these difficult things I'm experiencing, I'm putting them in the joy column. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And so it's really important for us to do that and to know how to do that and to get strength from the Word of God and to really rely on the Lord in the difficult times. Well, this morning, Debbie and I want to talk about not just encouraging yourself, but encouraging other people. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, actually starting in verse 12, says this, "Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." We all need encouragement.
Yes, and I love that that scripture doesn't really give us a day off. That command doesn't say, okay, when you're having a good day yourself and you feel like it, go ahead and encourage people. No, it says day after day, we need to be encouraging one another. And I just think about that in my own life. And for so long, I would find myself personally getting discouraged. And I would just think, oh, you know, I'm just having a bad day. I wouldn't necessarily look at where that was coming from. And it's so important that we do recognize that that's a direct attack of the enemy to discourage our souls and to keep us from encouraging other people. And it is so important that we do that. As this verse says, it's commanded that we do that. And our words and our actions can just be so powerful in the lives of people that we encounter. They can be powerful for the good or powerful for the bad. And so I just think that's so important that we keep that in the forefront of our minds. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 18:21 that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And James talks about the power of the tongue. Yes. And it's very important that we keep control over that. And I remember growing up, and I'm sure you remember this too, Jeff, you heard, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." What a bunch of bunk. I mean, you know, words hurt bad. Mm-hmm. Words can hurt and they can scar you. And you can remember hurtful things that were said to you when you were 5 years old. I mean, if you go back.
I still remember a guy that we knew that was in our church. He told me when he was a kid that his dad would say mean things to him. And this is a guy in his 40s. He said, "I still remember my dad when I was about 7 years old or so. He told me, 'Son, you're so stupid, you couldn't pour water out of a boot if the instructions were written on the heel.'"
Ouch.
And I mean, it was just like it happened yesterday.
Right. And, you know, sometimes things are said to us and they're said purposely to hurt us. But other times people are just flapping their mouth and they don't realize that their words have indeed wounded us and have hit us in a vulnerable spot. Or maybe even as parents, you know, we've probably said some things like that, not intentionally, to our kids that our kids remember that we've said. And like we said, words words can be very hurtful. And, you know, really bruises, scars, those can fade away and those can be forgotten, but we can just really, really hang on to words. And I was reading a statistic just the other day that talked about the fact that for every one negative comment that is spoken to you, it takes at least five or six positives to push that negative comment to the back of your thought process. Now, that doesn't mean you've ridden yourself of it, that it's gone, but to push it back to where it's not on the forefront of your mind. And I think that has happened to me. I just know so often that for some reason, I hang on to those negative comments so much easier than I hang on to those positive comments. Right. You know, would you say that's true of you as
well? Yeah, I think that's true of a lot of pastors, because we can get people saying nice things to us, encouraging things to us, especially about our preaching. Oh, that was a really good message or whatever. But if somebody writes us a nasty gram, oftentimes those are anonymous. I don't read anonymous letters because I just know this is not going to be a good thing. I'll let my secretary read it. And then I'll ask her, is that something I need to read? And most of the time she shakes her head, no, you don't need to read this, because she knows it's just going to be discouraging. And so, guys can hear that and just demoralizes them. Like, I need to quit this, right. You know, what I'm doing, it's not making a difference, and I'm not any good at this. And so the devil just uses all that, because he's always pumping out, you need to quit, you need to quit, you need to quit. As we said yesterday, the famous quote from Jerry Falwell Sr., it's always too early to quit, no matter how bad it is. Well, it's too early to quit. Keep going. Adrian Rogers used to say this, it is better to die in faith than to live in doubt. So just keep believing God, keep pressing forward, and keep trusting him that he's going to do good things.
Well, I read this little poem in a devotional book that I'm going through this year, and it kind of speaks to this in terms of the power that our words have. And it goes like this, a careless word may kindle strife. A cruel word may wreck a life. A bitter word may hate instill. A brutal word may smite and kill. And if you just think back onto your own life and you think, man, there have been some careless words spoken to me. There have been some cruel, bitter, and even some brutal words spoken to me. It can help us know and recall and remember and know the significance of those words that we in fact speak over other people, because we are called to be an encourager, not a discourager.
Right. So the scripture says in Ephesians 4, let no unwholesome word, that's a rotten word, a corrupt word, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment. Edification means building up. So speak words that build up, not words that tear down, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. When we let out a bunch of discouraging, unwholesome, rotten, corrupt words, that grieves the Holy Spirit. Then it says this, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Being kind to people, saying words that build them up, not words that tear them down, looking for things to praise, not for things to criticize. That is the challenge for every Christian. That's the challenge for every husband with his wife, for every wife with her husband, for every mom and dad with their children. We look for things to praise and to build up, not for things to tear down. Well, we're talking about encouraging one another today on the broadcast, and we're going to be taking your calls this hour, and we're going to have a great conversation. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Judy Goodell and her husband set up a charitable gift annuity through the AFA Foundation.
What we love about it is that it represents stewardship principles that we feel strongly about. So we got very, very excited about this opportunity.
With a charitable gift annuity through the AFA Foundation, an AFA supporter can guarantee a permanent monthly income, as well as supporting the American Family Association for years to come.
We do feel convicted about really praying about all that God has really blessed us with. And so many people we know just want to leave it all to their kids. And we know the danger of that. And so we just are really just trying to pray through it. And God gave us great confirmation as we prayed that this would be a good use of the Lord's money.
Find out if a charitable gift annuity is right for you at 800-326-4543, extension 345, or email foundation@afa.net.
Friendships is looking for full-time volunteer men and women who are serious about serving God, investing time in rewarding work, and helping people in need around the world. There is no charge to serve. Room and board are provided. A willing heart and a desire to work as part of a team are the primary skills required. Check out the opportunities at friendships.org or email portmercy@friendships.org. That's portmercy@friendships.org.
Hello, I'm Gary Roby, host of Call to Worship, heard each Sunday on American Family Radio. This one-hour program will lead you in a special time of worship and praise. We will focus on God's Word, spoken, and in music. Call to Worship has a different topic each week as we glorify God together. Be sure to join us at 5 a.m. Central each Sunday for a Call to Worship right here on American Family Radio.
Hi, and welcome back to the broadcast. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, pastor at First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries, heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time on American Family Radio. Well, I'm with Debbie Shreve, my beautiful and wonderful wife. We're talking about the subject of encouragement, encouraging one another day after day, as long as it is still called today. You know, there's an interesting story in the book of Acts about a Levite. The scripture says he was of Cyprian birth. His name was Joseph, and this guy was such a special and wonderful guy. He was generous, he was giving, but he was a guy who encouraged people, and everybody loved to be around him because he would always build them up. He wouldn't tear them down. And one day the apostles said, you know, we don't want to call you Joseph anymore. We're going to give you a new name. And they named him Barnabas, which translated means the son of encouragement. What a great name, and what a great model and example for us that we should be sons, daughters of encouragement, that people should want to be around us because we build them up and we don't tear them down.
You know, if you think about people in your life who are encouragers to you, just how wonderful it is to be around them. You know, there's one girl in particular in our church that is involved in women's ministry with me, and she always has a smile on her face. She always has an encouraging word, and she is just like a magnet. I mean, people are just drawn to her because of that, because that sweet spirit that is within her just radiates out. And it's just such a joy to be around her. And as I look at that, that's an encouragement to me, because not only does she encourage me, but she encourages me to be an encourager.
Right.
You know?
I had a guy, this just happened yesterday, after the broadcast yesterday, I went downstairs, and our kitchen staff do such a wonderful job at the church, but they provide breakfast for the staff on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and they'll make breakfast sandwiches and fruit and
smoothies. Oh, they're so good.
They're just so good. So I was having some of that. It always comes at 9 o'clock, and you know, the pigs gather at the trough.
That's right.
Right there where they serve. But a guy came in, a member of our church, and a dear friend. Anyway, he said, I need to talk to you. Do you have a few minutes for me? And I said, sure. And so we went into my office, and he said, I'm only going to take 2 minutes. And I said, what's on your mind? He said, I just want to tell you, I think you're doing a great job. He said, you're handling situations in our church really, really well, and your sermons are just spot on, and I just wanted you to know that I think you're doing a great job. And that's all he said, and it was a two-minute conversation, and so encouraging, because I really admire this guy, and he's a strong leader in our church. And, you know, it's like, that didn't take him a long time, but that made a big difference in my life. And so when we talk about speaking words that build up, encourage one another day after day, it doesn't cost us a lot to do that for people, but it pays such big dividends. And so often we're just like, well, I don't want to say too much. I don't want that person to get a big head, or I'm going to keep him humble or whatever. But we're not talking about just blowing smoke or flattering people. We're talking about saying things that you really think about other people that will help them, that will encourage them to keep going.
Well, you know, I think it's important for us to remember that anyone can be an encourager. Anyone can make the choice to do that. It doesn't require a special skill set for you to be able to be an encourager. And so often in the body of Christ, you know, you can see these people that are out front, they're on the stage, their voices are being heard, they're being seen. But so often the greatest ministry of the church can take place with those behind the scene people that are encouraging other people. They're encouraging them in their walk with Christ. They're encouraging them to come to church. They're inviting them. They're reaching out and they're ministering to people on a one-on-one basis that oftentimes staff can't reach that many people. The staff of your church don't have enough hours in their day to reach all the people. That's why the body of Christ works together as a unit. And I think that's an important thing for us to remember, to write someone a note, to send someone a text, to make a short phone call. And like you said, it doesn't have to be some long, in-depth conversation. It can be just a few short words, but it's amazing what those few words can do to encourage your heart.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. And so the scripture tells us in Hebrews 10 that actually in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confidence of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. And it has a note in my Bible, especially during COVID, not really, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so Debbie and I were speaking at a church in Longview Sunday, just this past Sunday night, talking to the deacons for a leadership training. And we were talking about the fact that because of COVID, so many people got knocked out of church, and really all the churches shut down for a time there. We were shut down from March 15th until Mother's Day because, you know, we were thinking that, you know,
gotta flatten that curve.
This is like the bubonic plague and millions are going to die and we're going to be hauling our dead ones out to the curb and that kind of thing, which wasn't true. So many lies with COVID. But we were back in on Mother's Day in May, but a lot of churches, they were shut down for over a year. And many people still haven't come back because of fear. And so they watch online. Here's the difference with watching online versus coming. The scripture doesn't talk about watching church online. And not that that's bad. It's a good supplement. It's not a good substitute, because we need to be together, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. We get encouraged when we come and we rub shoulders with our brothers and sisters in Christ, when we sing the praises of the Lord, when we see people getting baptized and we're all in the room together, when we're hearing the word of God together. That can't be captured on camera to the fullest extent. And there's a big difference between watching and being there and participating. And one of the big things about church is designed to be an encouragement for believers, to encourage us to keep going with the Lord.
Right.
And so I love my preaching professor, Wayne McDill, from Southeastern Seminary. We did his book in the sermon preparation class, and he had a chapter in his book. It was called 12 Skills for Great Preaching. And one of the last skills was preach for faith. Don't preach do better sermons. You know, a do better sermon is you're not doing enough, you're not praying enough, you're not witnessing enough, you're not reading your Bible enough. And people leave there saying, I'm just such a sorry Christian, I just don't ever do enough. And it's a performance treadmill kind of relationship with God. If I just did more, then God would love me. He said, don't ever preach do better sermons. Preach for faith. Encourage people to trust God. Encourage people to walk with God. So they leave the church not saying, I'm such a terrible, horrible, rotten Christian, but they say, okay, I have things to work on and God wants to help me. God wants to strengthen me. God wants me to see what I can be if I'll just walk with Him.
Jeff, we were talking during the break about a friend of ours who had written his dad a letter. Tell that story, because yeah, that is just such a cool story.
So as Debbie was talking about, you know, just a little note, a text, a short visit or whatever. So a friend of mine whose dad was a mechanic and didn't have a lot of education, but he was a good mechanic, and he taught my friend Rich, he taught him how to work on cars and how to work on brakes and that kind of thing. Well, Rich was saying in his marriage, and he's two kids, you know, he's been out of the house for years and years and years. Well, he had a problem with his car and with the brakes, and he was able to diagnose what the problem was. He was able to buy the parts and fix it himself. And he just said to himself, thanks, Dad, for showing me how to do this, because that's why I was able to save a lot of money and do this myself. Well, he didn't stop there. He wrote a note to his dad that just told him how much he appreciated him and the things that his dad had taught him, especially told about the situation with the car. And, you know, I love you, Dad. Thank you for being my dad. That kind of a note. And he sent it off to him. And Rich didn't know what kind of impact that had. But 2 years later, when his dad was in the hospital on his deathbed, Rich got to be there with him and prayed over him and read scripture to him and was there when his dad passed from this life into heaven. And when the hospital gave back the belongings that his dad had in his pockets, he had that note.
Wow.
Folded up, and he kept with him because that was such an encouragement to him, and that made such a difference in his life.
Right. You know, I have one letter like that that my dad wrote me that I keep in a Bible. And every time I find it, because I don't use that Bible all the time, but it's in there. And every time I get to use that Bible, I pull that out and I reread it. Because my dad now has been gone for 20 years. And just to be able to think back and to look back and still have that connection there like that, it's a very, very cool thing and very encouraging.
Well, and dads especially can make such an impact of encouragement on their children. I still remember what Robert Lewis taught at men's fraternity. He said, what did the father say to the son at his baptism? Twice you hear the father talking to his son, at his baptism and at the Mount of Transfiguration. And at his baptism, he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Son, I love you and I'm proud of you. At the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him because he is good and what he's telling you is good. And Robert Lewis said, every child needs to know dad loves you, dad's proud of you, and dad sees that you're good at blank, whatever blank is. And that was such a challenge to my heart with our three girls to right. always let them know, I'm so proud of you. I love you so much. You're so special. Debbie, do you remember when Amy was little? She painted something or drew something. You know, she's very artistic. And she was probably like 5 or 6 years old. And she said, Daddy, look at this. Aren't you so proud of me?
I do remember
that. And I said, oh, Amy, I'm so proud of you. Your kids never get tired of hearing that you're proud of them, that you love them, and that they're good at blank. So for dads, for moms, hey, let's pour that on to our kids. Don't look for things to criticize. Look for things to praise. So we'll be right back after the break talking about the subject of encouraging others. Don't go away. Thank you.
God sent a message to his people through Daniel in one of the strangest ways you can imagine. He gave a dream to a pagan king, and in that dream, he unfolded the future of the world.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Signs, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
The following are real-life stories from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt.
I used my credit cards as a source of income.
It was not a good situation.
I couldn't pay my bills.
The interest on the cards was really high.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relieved.
They contacted all of our creditors, and they put us on a plan for success.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I've been able to pay off close to $15,000.
We're doing a lot better.
Please pick up the phone and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
It's a godsend.
We're debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Paul writes, when one part of the body suffers, we suffer together. This is Bible League International, and here's a very startling statistic. Every 5 minutes outside of America, a Christian is killed simply because they believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Let me give you some perspective. By the end of the average hour-long worship service in America on a Sunday, 12 Christians will die, again, simply because of their faith. Now listen, persecution is arguably the top issue facing the global church today. I'm not saying that death is affiliated with every case of persecution, but at Bible League, we know Christians who are singled out, targeted, monitored, threatened with death, even killed simply because of their faith. Listen, we can do something about it by sending exactly what they're praying for to persevere and endure, and that's God's Word, at $5 a Bible, $100 sends 20. Would you pray about it and then make your most generous gift by calling 800-YES-WORD, 800-YESWORD, or give at sendbiblesnow.org, sendbiblesnow.org, and God bless you for caring.
Hi, and welcome back to the broadcast. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, pastor at First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. Debbie is with me today as we're talking about the subject of encouragement. Encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called a day, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We're going to be taking your calls. The number to call is 1-888-589-8840. That's 1-888-589-8840.
Well, the last segment, you had mentioned that verse in Matthew concerning Jesus' baptism. And one of the things about that verse that has always just struck me, and especially struck me as a parent, is that when God spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased," that was before Jesus had done anything. That was before his ministry started. That was at the onset of his ministry. And so it wasn't necessarily the things that Jesus was going to do that were well-pleasing, although they were. He was well-pleased with his Son.
Right.
Regardless of what his Son was going to accomplish, he was just well pleased with him.
Right.
And I think that is so important as a parent, to grasp hold of that and to pass that on to your children, to know, to let them know that, man, I'm just proud of you, regardless of
right.
what you do. Because
right.
you're going to do some great things. You're going to do some not so great things. You're going
right.
to be obedient. You're going to not be obedient. But it doesn't matter.
Right.
I'm proud of you.
Right. Well, God loves us not because we're lovable. He loves us because he's chosen to love us. And You know, this is so true. It's not new to me, but it's, you know, I didn't originate it, let's say. But there's nothing you can do to get God to love you anymore. And there's nothing you can do to get God to love you any less. God has chosen to love you. And so the Lord says in Deuteronomy, he says to Moses and the children of Israel, why did I choose you? Did I choose you because you were, you know, so special? No, I chose you by divine choice. And I chose to use you as my vehicle to show the world, this is who I am, and this is how I want to change lives. And that's why the Lord says, come out from among them and be separate, because you're my people, and I want to show to the world, to an ungodly world, what does it look like to be a child of the King? That's why the Lord says, you shall be holy, for I am holy, because my children are holy. They walk with me. They walk in the light with me. They're different in the way they act and in the way they react. So we're talking about encouragement. We would love to visit with you about that. The number to call is 1-888-589-8840.
Well, when I think about just how much God loves me, and that's hard for us to comprehend in our limited minds anyway, but what an encouragement that is, that regardless of what I do, God's love for me doesn't change.
Right.
Now, my relationship with him can change because my sin can cause me to pull back from him and separate from him. But his love for me is unwavering, and it's faithful, and it's true. And he is always there wanting to bring me back and pull me back into relationship. And when you know that someone loves you like that, that's very encouraging. And I think that's why so often the enemy, that's one of his fieriest darts, is that he wants to come in and make us question, is God truly loving, and does he truly love me? He may love mankind in general, but does he truly love me? And we have to be constantly on guard with that, because that's where so much of our own confidence comes from. It's not in our flesh, but it's in the fact that he loved us and he chose us.
Right. And so when you're not doing well spiritually, when you're falling into sin and having a pity party or whatever, you got to remember, this doesn't affect God's love for me. Now, God doesn't want me to stay like that, obviously,
right.
But his love is not based on my performance. We have Dennis on the line calling in from Texas. Dennis, go ahead. You're on the air.
First of all, Pastor Shreve, thank you for what you're doing, buddy. I mean,
thank
God
you.
Is smiling right now. Anyway, real quickly, I haven't listened to all the shows, so you may have even gone over this, but as regarding encouragement, I think people need to kind of get a grasp of a situation where if you don't have anything good to say, just don't say anything.
Right. Yeah, the old expression, don't be part of the problem, be part of the solution. And so if all you're going to do is pour gasoline on a fire, that's not going to help anything.
Right. I remember with our youngest daughter, she would just – she was a talker, and she still is a talker to this day. And I can remember when she was a little child telling her, Sarah, here's a newsflash. You just don't have to say everything you think.
Right.
You can think to yourself, is this going to be a good thing for me to say? And if it's not, I don't really have to say it. You know, because if words are not edifying for the moment, they don't need to be said.
Right.
And that's not that they don't ever need to be said, but you've got to really take stock of, is this edifying in this moment? Do I need to say this? Because you're exactly right, Dennis. We just do not need to say everything.
Right. And, you know, here's the thing, too. So, you know, we have to say things to people. We have to say things to our spouses, to our kids, to employees and people like that that may be hey, I got to point out an issue. I got to correct you here, or we got to have a tough conversation, or a boss with an employee, I have to let you go. Those are difficult conversations, but they don't have to be words that are corrupt and rotten.
Or cruel.
Or cruel, yeah. So you say things to people because, hey, I love you. I see some things in your life that are going to be harmful to you down the road. You don't see this, but this is going to be there. And I care too much about you to let you just go on. You know, it's kind of like if you see a blind spot in a loved one's life, if you're driving in the car with them, you don't want them to just change lanes and run into an 18-wheeler because they had a blind spot. You need to warn them, hey, I see this that you may not see. And in love, I'm telling you to watch out for this. So we're taking your calls, and the number to call is 1-888-589-8840. And we would love to talk to you about the subject of encouragement. Debbie, when we think about having those tough conversations, what are some things when you've had to have tough conversations, maybe with the girls or something like that, and you know it's not going to be something they want to hear, but they need to hear? How do you do that?
Well, the first thing that I've always tried to do is to make sure that I'm prayed up before I have those kind of conversations, and that the Lord truly would guide the words that come out of my mouth, because I want the message of my heart to come out in my words, and I want the girl, I would want them to hear my heart and to not misinterpret my words, not to see my words as an attack on them, but to see my words truly as edifying. And so to just ask the Holy Spirit to form those, to guide those, to put those together. And I'm not a huge confronter. I'm not one of those people that just enjoys confrontation. I don't shy away from it. If it's a situation where I have to confront, I will confront, but I never get excited about confronting. That's just not a part of my DNA. And so even with the girls, you know, I would not always necessarily look forward to that, but as a parent, we've got to do some hard work in those early years so that we can have some easier times in the latter years. And so I never shied away from that in my parenting. I don't think I did.
Right.
I tried not to anyway, to not shy away from those confrontations. And regardless of how fatigued I was, it was like, nope, this has to be said and this has to be dealt with.
Right. Amen. We have Frank on the line from Kentucky. Frank, go ahead. You're on the broadcast.
Hi, brother and sister. I usually try to tell people on a constant basis, no matter if I'm in the house or store, it's just strangers. And just tell them that Jesus loves them regardless, you know. I don't even have to know them at all.
Right.
So I just always try, somebody calls on the phone, I have just tell them that Jesus loves
it. That's very good. That's a great way to witness too. It encourages people, and it, you know, I think there are people that when you tell them that Jesus loves you, some of them, depending on what's going on in life, will think, Jesus, he doesn't love me, because if he knew me, he wouldn't love me. A lot of people don't love themselves because they've done things that creates a shameful secret life, and they said, nobody could love me. I can't love me. And God sees everything, and God for sure doesn't love me. But the truth of the matter is, God does love us, and the cross proves it. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So thanks for calling in, Frank.
And you know what's interesting about just that little thing, just taking those few seconds to say Jesus loves you to somebody, the Lord can use that in a powerful way. You know, it's our responsibility to say it, but what the Holy Spirit and does with it, that's his responsibility. And he can work in a mighty way with just that tiny seed that's planted in someone's heart.
Amen. We have Gary from Indiana. Gary, go ahead.
Gary, this is Gary Solomon.
Yeah, Gary, we just have a few minutes or a few seconds. If you can hang on after the break, that might be better.
I'm from Ohio, though.
Oh, okay. Ohio. I got that wrong. My apologies. Gary, we're coming up on a break. Can you hold on, and we'll take your call as soon as we come back from the break?
Yes, sir. That'd be fine. Okay, I'll hold on.
Okay, thank you, sir. Well, we're talking about the subject of encouragement, and we would love to talk to you about it. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Don't go away.
they should face some sort of consequences. At the very least, what you put on there should be true. And if it's not true, then it should be actionable.
Major social media outlets are finding ways to block the conservative evangelical viewpoint.
The American Family Association will no longer be canceled. Announcing AFA Streaming, our own video streaming platform, which will allow access to all AFA video content. AFA Streaming is now available. Learn more at afa.net.
Hi, this is Frank Turek. If you want to be better equipped to defend the truth and goodness of the gospel in a world filled with pandemics and natural disasters and utter confusion, join me, Richard Howe, Edward Graham, Hugh Ross, J. Warner Wallace, and even John Cooper from Skillet at the 28th Annual National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's April 8 to 9, but seats are limited, so register by going to ses.edu.
Back in 07, my father passed away. My mother had passed away 7 years earlier, and they left me a small inheritance, and I wanted to give back to AFA for all they have done for me.
Carol talks about her experience with the AFA Foundation.
I am an avid listener to AFR, 12 hours a day, and I hear Dan Celia talking about the charitable gift annuity. I liked what the gift annuity offered, donated a certain amount, and from that, I get a check every month, which is retirement income for me.
If you'd like to support the work of the AFA and receive a fixed income for life, a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation may just be what you're looking for. Learn more by contacting the Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hi, and welcome back to the broadcast. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my wife, Debbie. I'm pastor at First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. We're talking about the subject of encouragement, and we have Gary from Ohio on the line. Gary, go ahead.
Okay, I just want to thank Jim Wildman, the president, and AFR for getting me through what I went through. I lost my second wife back in October. And I listened to AFR, and it lifted me up. And living alone, it's very rewarding that God works in the great way that he does.
Amen. Well, I'm sorry for your losses, Gary. And I'm glad to know that AFR ministered to you in a time where your heart was very broken. And the Lord is a God of comfort and grace, and he's the one that can make sense of things that don't make sense to us, and he is there for us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He is the God who is who has grace to help us in our time of need.
And near to the brokenhearted.
For sure. We have Jock from Texas. Jock, go ahead. You're on the broadcast.
Yes. Can you hear me okay, Pastor?
Yes, sir.
Oh, great, great. I'll tell you, this is a very, just a beautiful message that you're putting out, to be have a constructive format if you have to talk to someone, to correct them, go about it in a positive manner, and then ease into, fill them out. And as a discipleship, it's so important for us to uplift and encourage the body of believers and also anyone that we can, you know, the child of God, to help them in any way. But it's just I think it's a fundamental building block of discipleship, really, is to learn this. And I've had to learn it through the Spirit. And I think this is a beautiful word you're putting out. And also, as Sister Debbie said, that, you know, the father, as a dad, as a father, earthly father, and having sons, I love all my sons, all my kids the same. I mean, I'm no different. My love is the same for all of them. Now, do I like everything they do? No. But is my relationship the same with all of them? No. Why is that? Because they're different. Not because I'm different. I'm the same, but they're different. So my relationship with them, each one of them, is different. And this is just so timely and so much confirmation in what you're saying and teaching. And I just want y'all to know that.
Well, I appreciate that so much. That's a very encouraging word to us. So I appreciate you calling in. And, you know, it is interesting. All kids are different. Mm-hmm. And the relationship that mom and dad have with their kids, we love all our kids the same. But you can have a closer relationship with some kids than others, depending on how they let you in or what they want from you. I was thinking about that with our relationship with the Lord. So Debbie and I went to Champion Forest. We met at Champion Forest Baptist Church in Houston, and we were under the teaching of Damon Shook for years and years and years, and he was my pastor, and then he became my boss when I was on staff there. And he said this one time, I've never forgotten it. He said, God has no favorites. He only has intimates. And if you want to be intimate with God, you can be. He's intimate with those who fear him, with those who draw near to him. He doesn't have favorites, but he does have intimates. So thanks for that good word. We have Janice from Texas. Janice, go ahead. You're on the broadcast.
Good morning, Jeff and Debbie.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. I love listening to y'all, and I even would listen quite often, even though I don't know a lot about finances, to the following program, and Jeff was sitting in for, can't give his name right off. But anyway, yes, I'm sitting here, I'm in Houston, and I go to this tiny, tiny, tiny little church, and I've been to the one you spoke of just a minute ago, Jeff. But anyway, I'm waiting on another congregant to show up because we were going to go. I know where there's a lawnmower he could get, and he's going to help me pull some things out of my car before I go to the mechanic. And anyway, we're going to help each other out. But he's late. He's running late. And so I'm sitting here in this parking lot, this tiny little parking lot, and this guy walks by on the sidewalk, and he's drinking a beer. But he looks at me, and he smiles real big, and he stops, and he waves, and I wave back, and he points up to the sky, and he said, ain't God good? And I go, yes, he is. And we started talking. He said, what's your name? And he said, well, I don't want to walk over there because I'm drinking a beer. I go, no, don't worry. I said, we don't judge people. We don't judge. Come on over. And so we were talking, and he told me about what he was going through. And he asked me to pray for him. So I stopped right then, and we prayed. And I said, please come back this evening, 7 o'clock. You know, we teach out of the recovery Bible. A lot of us in this church are either homeless. We minister to people off the street, people with addictions. And it was just a God moment. I said, you know, I said, there are no accidents, God, but, you know, y'all are talking about speaking words of encouragement. And he goes, you don't know how much I love hearing that. Thank you so much. And I think he might come back tonight. and
oh,
I
that said, would be great.
We don't judge here. Yeah, I said, a lot of us here, I myself am in a 12-step program since 2004, but our preacher teaches out of the Recovery Bible, and we're going through the steps, and we get to participate, you know, share things. So anyway, it was kind of timely. I thought, God, nothing's by accident, you know, that I'm still sitting in this parking lot waiting for my friend, and had an opportunity to minister, to give a word of encouragement and pray with the person off the street.
Amen. That is so good. Well, thank you for letting us know about that. And I'm excited to know God is using you, and you are speaking words that build people up and not tear them down. And we're called to be witnesses for Christ in our world. And we point the way to Jesus. We let people know, hey, without Christ, you're going in the wrong direction. But here's the gospel. Jesus will save anybody who will turn to him and let go of sin and embrace him. The Apostle Paul said that his preaching, Acts chapter 20, he preached, solemnly testified of the truth of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what we're supposed to do as witnesses, as preachers. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Yeah, but you're a soldier in the Lord's army if you know Christ. You've been given the Holy Spirit who gives us power to open our mouths and tell of Jesus, who is mighty to save. Some people don't want to hear it. That's fine. We just go to people who do want to hear it. And we just keep shining for Christ and sharing what great things the Lord has done for us. So we have been talking about encouragement today, and I hope that you take these words to heart and that you say, okay, God, who can I encourage? Even this day, you know, the Bible talks about don't be just a hearer of the word. Be a doer of the word, because just a hearer deludes himself and deceives himself. God didn't give us his word just to hear it. He gave us his word so that we would do it. And this topic of encouraging one another day after day, you can start right now. It's not going to cost you anything to encourage a friend, a loved one, a boss, an employee, a classmate, a workmate.
And I would like to just as my position as a pastor's wife, I think I can say this with confidence. Your staff at your church, your pastor, your senior pastor, and the staff at your church, they desperately need your encouragement. They want to do the work of the Lord. They were called to do the work of the Lord, but the work of the Lord can be difficult because people can be difficult, and there's an enemy that wants to just defeat you and discourage you. And so they desperately need your encouragement. And there's not a single one of us on staff that in seminary were trained on how to lead during a pandemic. And so, you know, your pastor and your staff, they've done some things right, and they may have done some things wrong. But they need to know that you have their back and that you support them, and that you love them, that you believe in them, and they desperately need your encouragement. They need to be urged on by you to continue doing the work of the Lord, to keep putting one foot in front of the other, to keep plodding along in the work of the Lord. And you can be such an incredible blessing to them by taking the time to do that. Like Jeff said earlier in this broadcast, to just take a minute or two in person to thank them, to send them a note of encouragement, to send them a text, to send them an email, because they may appear to be spiritual giants, but they are mere humans. And so, just coming from the vantage point that I come at, I just know that any time that Jeff is encouraged or that someone encourages me, it just is such an incredible blessing in our lives.
Well, the scripture says, for all those who are members of churches, obey your leaders, Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Every church member has to ask himself, herself, am I a church member that's bringing joy to my pastor or grief to my pastor? Now, listen, we can disagree, and the Bible gives us clear lanes in appealing to authority if we see authority doing something that is contrary to Scripture. And so as church members, you have the green light to do that, but always submit to them, encourage them, speak words that build them up, not words that tear them down, even when you disagree, and refuse to gossip about your pastor and your church staff. That destroys the church. Thanks so much for being with us this hour, and let me encourage you, shine for Christ, share his story, and encourage one another in the Lord. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the broadcast. Pastor Jeff Shreve here today, pastor at First Baptist Church, Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. And I am filling in this hour for Ray Pritchard. Ray woke up this morning and didn't have his voice, so I am glad to be with you this hour. Wanted to talk to you about the subject of how do we live in these last days. You know, the Bible says in the last days, difficult times will come. Now, from the time that Jesus ascended into heaven, that began what the Bible calls the last days. And the apostles thought he was coming back at any moment. And obviously, Jesus didn't come back in the first century. It's been, from our estimation, it's been a long time. It's been 2,000 years nearly since Jesus died on the cross, rose again from the dead, and ascended to heaven. And so if the Bible calls in the first century the last days, we are living in the last of the last days. And Peter says this in 2 Peter chapter 3, know this first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts. And this is what they say, where is the promise of his coming? I mean, you guys are talking about the coming of the Lord. Well, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. The Lord is not coming back. Everything just keeps charting along just like it always has. And Peter says this, for when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. They forget about the situation with Noah and the ark and the flood. He says, but the present heavens and earth, by his word, are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. I mean, to the Lord, how long has it been since Jesus has walked this earth? Just a couple of days. To us, it's 2,000 years, but 1,000 years is as one day to God. He's not governed by time as we are. And then Peter says in verse 9, the Lord is not slow about his promise to return, as some count slowness, but he's patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. We want the Lord to come back today, but there's somebody that's going to be saved tomorrow. And if he came back today, that person would miss out on the coming of the Lord. They'd miss out on the rapture of the church. And so God is patient toward us. I am so glad. I got saved when I was a senior in high school in 1980. I am so glad the Lord didn't come back in 1979, because I would have missed his coming in the clouds. I would have missed the rapture. And so I am praising God that he was patient toward me. And so Peter says, hey, you want to know why the Lord seems to be slow from our estimation? He's not slow about his promise. He's patient, because he doesn't want any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But listen, verse 10, the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? Hey, how are we to live in these last days? Peter says we're to live by being godly people, in holy conduct, in the way we act and in the way we react, to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. The Lord says, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And Christians are to be different. We're twice born people living in a world of once born people. We don't follow the prince of the power of the air. The Bible says the whole world lies in the lap of the evil one, and it goes in the direction the evil one wants it to go. Well, we're counter culture to that. Our master is the Lord in heaven, and we are to be people that reflect his holiness and his purity. And we don't walk in the power of the flesh. We walk by the power of the Spirit. There are two words that we use around First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, two words to kind of sum up what our job is here on the earth, because the Lord has left us here for a purpose. And a Christian is to shine, and a Christian is to share. To shine for Christ and to share what great things the Lord has done for us and how he's had mercy on us. And we share our story and his story. We share the gospel, and we share how the gospel has changed our lives. Now, both of those things are critical, to shine and to share. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Shine is how we live. Share is what we say. Some people shine and don't share. Some people share and don't shine. Neither one of those are good by themselves. We need to do both. See, if you don't shine, if your life doesn't really reflect the God you say you love and the God you say you worship, if you're not obedient to him in the way you act and react, but you're talking about him all the time, people will say, "Well, you're a hypocrite. I'm not going to listen to you because you cuss like a sailor. You live with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. You don't have a godly life. You're living no different from me." And when I was in high school, when I got saved, I got saved from living a life where I was hanging out with my buddies, my basketball friends. I played basketball in high school, and we would drink on the weekends and chase girls and party and that kind of thing. Well, when I became a Christian and I made a, you know, took a stand and said, "Well, I've given my life to Christ. I belong to him." The very first thing they looked at was, "Are you still drinking on Friday and Saturday nights? Are you still partying? Because if you say you're a Christian, then we should see a difference in your life." I still remember this one guy telling me, I told him I was a Christian. He said, "Are you still partying?" And I said, "Oh, not in the way you're talking about." He said, "Well, if you were, I wouldn't listen to anything you had to say. Because if you say you're a Christian, your life ought to be different." So if there is no shine, then the sharing falls flat and you just come across as a hypocrite. But if there is shine but no share, you don't tell anybody, then they have a hard time wondering, okay, what makes you different? The apostles, they did both. They shined and shared. And they told everybody, hey, when they healed the man that was crippled at the gate beautiful, Acts chapter 3. He said, "Don't look at us. We didn't do this on our strength or our power. It's the Lord whom we serve, Jesus who was crucified, who rose again from the dead. He's the one who made this man well." And they looked for opportunities to preach Jesus to the people and point the way to Jesus. How are we to live in these last days? Peter says, "Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and in godliness, looking for and hastening, looking forward to the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat." That's what we're to be doing, to shine for Christ, to share his story, to make a difference until the Lord calls us home or until the Lord comes in the clouds and takes us home. But we are to be busy about the work of the kingdom. So we're going to be taking your calls in this hour, and I'd love to talk to you about this subject. The number to call is 1-888-589-8840. We'll be right back after the break. God bless you.
Here are Tim and Riley Wildman for the AFA Foundation.
Riley, what is your title?
The director of AFA Foundation.
One of the best ways you can have income for the rest of your life and know that you will be supporting the ministry of American Family Association is to...
to give a gift to American Family Association and American Family Radio.
Do you also deal with people who want to leave AFA in their wills?
Yes, sir. That's exactly why they call. And that's why we also have another option besides a charitable gift annuity. People sometimes also call and do an outright gift or also leave us in their will.
Now, when anyone calls in and asks to talk to you ladies, will all of them talk in a Southern accent like you do?
Yes, they will.
Call Riley Wildman at the AFA Foundation, 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch, for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
For their little size, this little sliver of land surrounded by 37 nations that all want to destroy them, here is this nation of Israel living in peace among enemies and not only surviving but thriving.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his message, The Isolation of Israel, on the next Turning Point Weekend Edition.
Listen to Turning Point, Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Hi, and welcome back to the broadcast. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, pastor at First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries, heard every weeknight on American Family Radio at 6 p.m. Central Time. Well, I am filling in for this hour for Ray Pritchard, who woke up and had no voice. So it's my joy to be with you. We're talking about how to live in these last days. As we said at the top of the hour, the apostles lived in the last days. We live in the last of the last days. I truly believe that Jesus Christ is coming soon. And here's the thing, the way to live the Christian life. See, the apostles believed in the first century that the Lord was coming in their lifetime. God wants all of us to live like that. He wants us to live as if Jesus died yesterday, rose this morning, and is coming back tonight. See, if you live that way, then you keep the death, the burial, and the resurrection and return of Christ so near and dear to your heart, so close in your heart, it changes the way you live your life. So we're talking about being the Christian God wants us to be, and I mentioned two words. The first word is shine, and the second word is share. Those two words encompass the Christian life. We're to shine for Christ. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's the way you live. Now, when you think of shine, it's how you act and how you react. Now, how you act, you can control that to a certain extent. How you react is not going to be controlled. That's just when something happens to you. You get cut off in traffic. You have some difficulty that hits your life. You get a phone call that's bad news. You have just something that really arrests you and stops you in your tracks, so to speak. How you react, that really tells the tale of what's going on inside. My pastor, Damon Shook, used to say this: your life is like a tube of toothpaste. And when the pressure comes, when you get squeezed, what comes out is what's inside. Now, if you're filled up with Jesus, you're walking with him, walking in the light with him, you're right with him, you surrender to him, when you get squeezed, what comes out is Jesus. But if you are saying you're having fellowship with him, 1 John chapter 1, and really walking in the darkness, when you get squeezed, out comes you. And you're going to say things and do things and respond in ways that are displeasing to God, that are not godly but ungodly, that speak volumes about your life. We need to shine for Christ. We need to share his story. We are taking calls this hour. The number to call is 1-888-589-8840. And we have Rhoda from Virginia. Rhoda, welcome to the broadcast.
Okay. I love doing things with my sisters and brothers in the Lord. And I don't have many friends. I don't have many sisters and brothers in the Lord that I can say are friends and that I know. But I love going out fellowshipping with the saints, and I love worshiping with them. And I don't know who to go to witness about the Lord of Christ, because God said to take two, go in twos, and it's just me by myself here. I'm 70 years old, senior citizen. I have an equilibrium imbalance in my legs. I walk with a cane. Mm-hmm. And it's just not too many places I could go.
Right. Well,
I mean, I'm just thankful, you know, I mean, and sometimes I do get discouraged about it.
Right.
It's just not, I mean, and people are not phone people, you know, not too many people are phone people. And then sometimes when you talk on the phone, you end up gossiping. Well,
right.
I just don't know. I'm just limited. And I don't feel that I feel empty on the inside. I don't feel that the Lord really hears me. I feel like I'm empty on the inside, and that there's a need for him to be there on the inside, but he's not there. That's just the way I feel.
Right. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. Here's the thing, Rhoda, that hopefully will help you. What is the truth and how you feel are different. So feeling like he's not on the inside, we can easily feel like that, especially when you're somewhat debilitated and you're a little isolated, can feel like, well, I think God has left me. But the truth is, he says, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. So we always combat in our minds the truth versus the lies. The lies are easy to believe because they typically match up with our feelings. The truth is harder to believe because it doesn't match up with feelings. And so the Lord says, hey, I know where you are. I care about you where you are, and I want to use you where you are. And so in your situation, let me just encourage you, just in your prayer time, just say, Lord, this is hard for me, but there's nothing I can do to change my physical situation. You know, I mean, you diet, exercise, do whatever you can to make things as good as they can possibly be. But if you have an equilibrium problem and things like that, you're going to be limited as to how you can get around. So God knows that. And just bring that before him. Say, Lord, this is my situation. I want to live my life today surrendered to you. All I have to live is today. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow may never come. So I'm giving this day to you. Use me. I am reporting for duty. I am a soldier in the Lord's army. Use me. And I had a seminary professor say this to me, and I've never forgotten it. He said, three things every Christian needs to pray every day. God, give me an opportunity today to tell someone about you. Number two, God, help me to know when that opportunity comes. Maybe it's a workman that comes to your house to do something. Maybe it's a phone call that you get. Help me to know when that opportunity comes. And number three, help me not to chicken out when that opportunity comes. And so this friend of mine, this seminary professor, said, if you'll pray those three prayers every single day, he said, you'll be amazed at how God will bring opportunities into your life to witness for him, because he will bring people by your door that he wants you to talk to, because he knows that you're praying and you're focused in that direction. God, I want to be a witness for you. I want to tell others about you. And it makes a difference. So Rhoda, thanks so much for praying. I just want to encourage you in the Lord. God has not forgotten you. He knows what's going on. He knows that you want to serve him. And so be encouraged. Don't be discouraged. Speak the truth to your heart. Encourage your heart in the Lord. And just take his promises and his word that when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And let the word just wash over your heart, and let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. It makes all the difference in the world. So thank you for your call. Well, we're talking about shining for Christ. We're talking about sharing what great things the Lord has done for you. Now, when we talk about sharing, see, our job on this earth, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, Jesus told the disciples, and you shall be my witnesses. Now, that's why we're left here, to be a witness by the way we live and by what we say. So we shine for Christ, but we also share. Now, that can make Christians nervous, because they say, I'm not good at that sharing the gospel. That's just hard for me. I get tongue-tied. I don't know what to say. I get nervous. What if they ask me a question that I can't answer? What if they talk to me about, what about people that have never heard, people that are living in the jungles in a third world country, and how does the gospel relate to them? And I don't know how to answer that question. Remember this. What is a witness? A witness in a court of law. He just tells what he saw, what he heard, what happened to him. And so the Gadarene demoniac, I go back to that in my mind often, Mark chapter 5. That guy who had the legion of demons, the Lord delivered those demons from him, put him into the pigs, and the pigs ran off the cliff and drowned themselves in the Sea of Galilee. They committed suicide. And so, you know, the guy was put into his right mind, and he put his faith and trust in Jesus, and he wanted so much to go with Jesus, and Jesus wouldn't let him. He said, no, go to your people. This was a Gentile guy. Go to your people and tell them what great things God has done for you and how he had mercy on you. And that guy went to the 10 cities, the Decapolis, which were Gentile cities around the Sea of Galilee on the eastern side. And he told everyone what great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. He was sharing and he was shining. And they knew where he came from. And they knew how this guy's life has been transformed. And everyone listened to what he had to say. He was such a great witness for the Lord. He just told what the Lord had done for him. He just told what great things Jesus did for him. And that's what we are to do. Now, not everybody's going to believe that. Not everybody's going to fall in line with that. Not everybody's going to say, oh, tell me more, but some will. And so, you know, the more that we share, the more we will see responses to the gospel, because we have what people desperately need. They need peace. They need love. They need salvation. They may not know they need that, but they do. They're separated from God. They're on the highway to hell, and we have what they need. We have the cure for their sin, which is Jesus Christ dying on the cross, rising again from the dead. We have that message, and we can share, hey, this is how the Lord saved me. This is what the Lord has done in my life, and this is what he can do in your life too. So we're talking about how to live in these last days. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go away.
We all have times of discouragement, but there is hope. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve. Hey, I have good news for you. God is the God of encouragement, and God has a good word from His word to encourage you, to lift you up, and to change your outlook.
Learn the power of simply having a godly outlook. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
When you hear this...
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net and sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
I'm Peter Rosenberger, and this is your Caregiver Minute. Noise bombards us every day, from 24-hour cable news to traffic to our mobile devices. We are inundated with a wall of noise that seems to keep so many of us in a state of agitation. For caregivers, taking a moment to sit quietly and settle our hearts down seems nearly impossible, but it's critical for us to do just that. You see, if we don't take time for stillness, we're going to have to make time for illness. That constant state of anxiety, stress, and sensory overload we experience as caregivers will eventually make us sick. Stress kills. The way we push back on this is to carve out some time where we can just be still and quiet. Prayer, meditation, or just clearing our frenetic thoughts, it all helps reboot our minds and hearts and allows us to be a little calmer in the caregiver storm we navigate.
This has been your Caregiver Minute with Peter Rosenberger, brought to you by Standing with Hope, a ministry for the wounded and those who care for them. There's more information at standingwithhope.com.
In His image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality is changing hearts and lives.
It speaks directly to the power and the grace of God.
It gives me hope for people that I know that are struggling.
The whole idea of In His image has moved me.
We actually had one gentleman contact us, and he said that this film changed his mind about this issue. We had a pastor reach out to us, and he said that he'd been struggling with hatred in his heart towards people in the LGBTQ community, and this film helped him to realize he needed to have compassion and show people the love of Christ. We also had this same-sex attracted couple contact us, and they said after seeing the film, they wanted to live obedient lives for Christ no matter what, and they said, please pray for us. We know this is going to be hard. We've even had people come to faith in Jesus through In His Image.
To find out more, visit inhisimage.movie.
Hi, and welcome back to the broadcast. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, pastor at First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. We're taking your calls. The number to call is 1-888 589-8840. That's 1-888-589-8840. We're talking about this subject, how do we live in these last days? Now, the two words, shine for Christ, shine and share. Share what great things the Lord has done for you. Share the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, how do you shine and be the person God wants you to be when you have weaknesses, when you have temptations, when you have frailties? Because, hey, we all have them. Paul said, in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. And your flesh wants to sin, and your flesh will always want to sin. I've been crucified with Christ, Paul says, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Romans 6 says that we're dead to sin, but Romans 7 says we still struggle with the flesh. And Romans 8 says, if we'll yield to the Spirit, we can walk by the Spirit and experience the power of the Holy Spirit. But that's the life for the Christian. Yeah, I'm dead to sin, but sin still has an appeal to me. And so that affects my shine if I'm not going to walk in the light with Jesus. And so how do we do that? The Bible says this. 1 John chapter 1, and this is the message we have heard from him and announce to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Now, if we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, what does that mean? That means we lie and do not practice the truth. Our talk and our walk are not the same. We talk a big game, we talk a big Christian life, but our walk doesn't match up. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The one another is not you and me. It's not the horizontal. The one another is you and God. We have fellowship with God, the vertical relationship, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Remember this, no one lives the Christian life perfectly. We don't. You don't, I don't, the Apostle Paul didn't. We're to live it genuinely. We're to live it honestly. We're to be real. And we deal with sin in our life. So walking in the light means that you don't have secrets. You don't have things hidden in the closet. You're bringing everything to the Lord, and you're confessing it all to the Lord, and you have another trusted friend that you can confess your sins to, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. We have to have that because in every person's life, there's a public life that everyone sees. There's a private life that only those closest to us see. And then there's the secret life. The secret life is that life that only you see and God sees. And we need to take the secret life and bring it into the light. We need to have an accountability partner who can see the secret life. And when our public life, our private life, and our secret life all line up in the light with Jesus, that's when there's victory. That's when there's power. That's when there's joy. That's when there's peace. So that is the encouragement from the Lord. We're taking your calls, and we have James. James, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello, Brother Jeff. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm hanging in there. I just wanted to say what a wonderful ministry you have. I listened to another call-in program. I think it's Pastor Mike, and you're on there quite a bit. And he is, and Daryl Skinner, Mike and Daryl Skinner, and you're on their on the program a lot, and I've tried to call in. I never could get through to you, but I just wanted to say what a wonderful minister that you are, and your wonderful wife. And let's continue to lift up Dan and get him out of the sick bed, because we know that our God is able. He is a wonderful healing God. He's still in the miracle working business today, and We can't ever doubt that, or we could lose hope, and we don't want to do that.
Right.
So, but I'm a truck driver. I'm just leaving Little Rock, and I'm going back to my terminal, and we just can't lose faith and hope, because our God is able, and he's in control, even though it doesn't seem like it right now. Oh.
Right. Very good, James, and I appreciate that. It's a good word. We don't lose hope. God is the God of hope. Romans 15:13 is one of my favorite verses. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your loved ones are facing or your loved ones are going through, God is the God of hope. Now, we can't figure out the mind of God so much of the time with what he is doing, because God's word to us, when we ask the question why, which is one of the questions we love to ask, why God, why is this happening? Why is that happening? Job, when his life fell apart, he asked, you read Job chapter 3, look at all the whys that are in there. Why? I think there are 5+ whys that he asked God. That's just a normal, natural question when you go through hard times. God is not in the business of explaining. He's in the business of sustaining. God rarely answers our whys. his answer is almost always the same. My child, you can trust me. Just trust me. I remember when my father-in-law, who had a massive stroke, was in the hospital for 3 months. He was in a coma for a good portion of that time. When he finally awakened, and he still, I mean, it's amazing. He had this massive stroke. He didn't have any symptoms from the stroke. He could talk well. He could think well. He could still walk and do all those things. But I remember asking him, and my father-in-law was a pastor for 50 plus years. I said, Gerald, what is God saying to you in the midst of all that you've gone through? And he said, he's saying, trust me. Trust me. God knows what he's doing, and he is in control. And even when everything looks like it's out of control, we know our God reigns. Psalm 29, the Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. And nothing happens in our world that God doesn't allow to happen. Nothing happens in your life, in my life, that God doesn't allow to happen. That all those things, they first filter through his fingers of love, because God is love, and everything he does in our lives comes out of a heart of love. God allows the hard things for sure, because he wants to grow us, and we grow through the hard times. None of us like the hard times, but we grow through the hard times. I learned a poem from Adrian Rogers years ago. It's so true. It says this: I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. But I walked a mile with sorrow, and not a word said she. But oh, the things I learned that day when sorrow walked with me. Andre Crouch, the singer from yesteryear, used to sing that song, Through It All. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. If I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. And so listen, you're facing difficulties, you're facing problems, you're facing dark and scary situations and storms in life. That's part of the human existence. Man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of trouble. And we can trust God. We can keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. And just know this, as we talk about living in these last days, God's called us to stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. The world hates a Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit because the world hates Jesus. And Jesus said, if the world hates you, hey, know that it hated me before it hated you. And the reason it hates you is because you love me and you are walking with me and you're standing up for my truth and my word. And so the world's not going to like that, and the world's going to come against that, and you're going to have persecution and difficulties and problems because of that. That's okay, because the Lord says, know this, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. The Apostle Paul said in the last letter he ever wrote, as he's awaiting to have his head cut off under the persecution of Nero, he said, the Lord will deliver me from every evil deed and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory. Well, God did deliver Paul. Even though he died for his faith, God delivered him, and he brought him to heaven to be with him forever. And he gave Paul those words at the end of his life, well done, my good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Hey, we're taking your calls. The number to call is 1-888-589-8840. That's 1-888-589-8840. I'd love to talk to you on the subject of how do we live in these last days? How do we shine for Christ? How do we share his story? How do we share what great things the Lord has done for us and how he had mercy on us? So we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back. Don't go away.
They should face some sort of consequences. At the very least, what you put on there should be true. And if it's not true, then it should be actionable.
Major social media outlets are finding ways to block the conservative evangelical viewpoint.
The American Family Association will no longer be canceled. Announcing AFA Streaming, our own video streaming platform, which will allow access to all AFA video content. AFA Streaming is now available. Learn more at afa.net.
Picture a stormy sea. The waves are rolling viciously and the sky is darker than night. The crack of thunder can be heard over the roaring wind. A tiny ship is thrown wildly up and down as it rides the waves. The crew is just about to lose hope when someone spots a sudden flash in the distance. A lighthouse.
Lighthouse for the Lost, an article by Parker May. To read this article, visit EngageMagazine.net.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if, like a lot of people, you just have a plan you're not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's a Christian healthcare sharing program. There are more than 400,000 members now, and they love it. In fact, MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to that of health insurance. And MediShare really is the gold standard when it comes to healthcare sharing. It's been around more than 25 years. Members have shared more than $4 billion of each other's medical bills. Plus, MediShare is for you. It has saved its members billions by advocating on their behalf. Best of all, the typical savings for a family is around $6,000 a year. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. MediShare has a 98% customer satisfaction rating, and you are invited to be part of it. Call now. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Hi, and welcome back to the broadcast. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, pastor at First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. We're taking your calls. The number to call is 1-888-589-8840. We're talking about how do we live in these last days to shine for Christ and share His story. We have Janet from Texas on the line. Janet, welcome to the broadcast.
Yes. Well, you have a really good program going there.
And, thank you.
My heart is in evangelism, and I call Billy Graham my preacher man, because at the age of 12, I accepted Christ as a result of him preaching on TV one night, and referred to scripture verses he preached. I prayed, and I accepted Christ at the age of 12. And but what I wanted to say is, with the world situation right now, the Lord is all-knowing and all-seeing. And we need to pray that all truth and all righteousness prevail. And then also, I believe that, you know, when someone does outright wrongs and you know it, you see it, just pray that the Lord will deal with them according to His will. Ever how they need to be dealt with, because He knows and sees it all, He knows just how to deal with those people that are doing wrong. And so we just need to lift them up to the Lord and pray that they will repent of their sin and all their wrong and come to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. But forever how they need to be dealt with for the wrongs they're doing and have done, just give them up to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, thank you for dealing with them according to your will.
Amen.
In this whole situation with our elected officials, if they are not standing for truth and righteousness and for life, liberty and the pursuit of happiness, then we just need to pray that the Lord open their blinded eyes, hearts, minds, and emotions to stand for truth and for righteousness, what's right in God's eyes. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Janet. That's a great word. We do. We stand up for truth, and we pray that God would take the blinders off of these people's eyes, because they're going in the wrong direction and they don't see it. So we need to be praying. We have Barb joining us from Iowa. Barb, welcome to the broadcast. Barb, are you there?
I am.
Yeah. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you. So many things I could say. The Lord has absolutely miraculously healed me. I'm 100% certain of that. What I want to say is, when you talk about shining and standing and sharing, something as simple as listening to the first woman that called, the the older woman that said that she really doesn't have opportunity. And I don't know if she has opportunity on, you know, social media, but for me, just yesterday, someone that I know that does a rescue, she's got a rescue for small dogs, and she's amazing. She travels them across the country, and she's amazing. And she feels very defeated often. And she's posted a post about it's all darkness, just all about the darkness, the darkness, the darkness. And I said, but you are the light. We are called to be the light. I said, you go into a pitch black room and you light one little match, there's light. The light will always overcome the darkness. No matter how dark it is, the light will always overcome. The darkness cannot overcome the light. So I said, you are the light. You are shining. That is what we are called to do. That is what the Lord calls us to do. And just that little, I feel like so often we see posts like that, very negative posts. And we are like, well, I don't want somebody to call me, you know, that Bible thumper or that Jesus freak or any of that. And I'm like, I do. I want them to call me that. Absolutely. I am okay with that because that's what I'm called to be, you know? And so amen. I just think that that's so vital that we stand and that we share and
right.
That we talk about the light. So that's all.
Right. Amen. That's a good word, Barb. You know, Jesus said, if they called the head of the household Beelzebul, what are they going to call his followers? And so we can't be deterred just because people castigate us or ridicule us or arrest us or whatever they might do to us. You know, you look at the apostles and the believers in church history, they were getting killed for their faith. They were getting burned at the stake. They were getting their heads cut off for their faith, but they wouldn't deny Christ. They wanted to be faithful to the very end, and they were, and they pleased the Lord. First martyr in the Bible is Stephen, Acts chapter 7. He preaches a sermon that the Sanhedrin drove them crazy. They covered their ears. They rushed upon him, and they stoned him to death, and the Lord stood up for him. He said, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Jesus, who sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, when Stephen stayed faithful and true, he stood up and gave him a standing ovation, so to speak, to welcome him into glory. May you and I do the same. So thank you, Barb, for that comment. We have Margaret from Texas. Margaret, you are on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Pastor. This is
Hi.
Margaret.
Yes.
Hi. So I grew up in the 50s down in Florida in West Palm Beach, and I was going to a church, and as a little kid, every Sunday they would ask me if I shared about Jesus. And I really hated that question because I just felt so awkward about doing it. I didn't really, I'm like, I don't know how to do it. I don't want to stick out like that. So I went on in my Christian life, and I wasn't sharing, but I was attending church and trying to hold on to my faith. And one day I heard a message, a pastor say, when we get to heaven, we're going to be so grateful for what Jesus did for us that we're going to want to throw our rewards down around his throne. And I'm like, I was thinking, I don't have any rewards. I haven't been sharing or, you know, to get rewards. And so I went to a Christian Bible bookstore, and I found this booklet and the title of it, The Real Purpose of Life. And when I read through it, I was like, this, I've got to get this book out, because it said, everybody goes through being born, going to school, getting married, all these stages of life. But what is the real purpose of life? And I realized that I needed to share. This is something I could share and get rewards. I know it sounds terrible, but so I started carrying these booklets in my purse. And I grew up in a time when my mom and her friends carried tracts in their purses. My dad would go with men down to witness at a street corner. There were crusades, Billy Graham's crusades we watched. So this was a big part of my life. I just felt I've got to do this. And so I started giving out these booklets and realizing that my what I was giving out was the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus talked about, going out and sharing the gospel of the kingdom. And I realized that's the real purpose of life, that the world cannot give us a purpose. Only God can. And he changes hearts. And when he comes into our lives and into our hearts, then our purpose is to be with him in his kingdom. And while we're here, to share the gospel of the kingdom and to glorify him as much as we can. And when I give out these booklets, I have to tell you, some people, I say, so how I do it is I say, are you a praying person? And so many people will say yes, some people say no. And when they say yes, I say, well, I am too, and I have this booklet I give away that I think you would like. And many people that have been Christians and were like me and never sharing, they're really encouraged. Here's a person that's actually sharing the message of the gospel. And then when they say no, like I was pulling into a gas station yesterday and two men were filling the gas tanks and their tanker was right next to my car. And so I got out and I said, you are lucky today because I'm giving these out for free. And so they're like, well, what is it? And I said, well, are you a praying person? Well, not really. And I said, well, then you would really want to hear, to read this and know about this. And so he took it and to give to himself and the other man. And when I was leaving, he thanked me for it. And so, you know, God is with us. He wants us to share, in my opinion, the gospel of the kingdom, because the kingdom of God is the purpose of our lives, that we end up with him in eternity. And I think it's so exciting. And I... And so that's what people need. They want a purpose in life. And so when I give that booklet, it doesn't have God on the cover. It has, this is the purpose of life. And everybody wants to know, why am I here? So anyway,
that's exactly,
to share with you.
Yes,
that God,
that's exactly right, Margaret.
Excited me.
Right. That is such a good word of encouragement to all of us, that God can use us, and we don't have to be theologians. We can get a good booklet or a track or something like that and just pass it out to people we see at the gas station, the grocery store, wherever it might be. Let them know that, hey, God has changed my life, and I think this booklet, this track will be an encouragement, a blessing to you. And that opens up spiritual conversations. So, Margaret, thank you so much for sharing that. And God bless you as you share Christ with others. We have time for one more call. Gary in Ohio. Gary, welcome to the broadcast today.
Yes, I'm a drafted Vietnam veteran. I have a poem. When you see the stars and stripes flying high up on a pole, it waves there day and night through the summer and winter's cold. It flies for all Americans, be them old or be them young. It stands for all the battles that have ever been lost or won. The American flag is one thing the Americans should be proud of, for it stands for all things we've ever came to love. All the freedom that we fought for, the men and women who were lost through hardships of bloody war, all Americans paid the cost. Take this day to remind us we can stand together. We must. The United States of America, in God's name we trust. The skies around the world will see a brighter day when peace prevails on earth with hope in a sharing way. So if you can whisper a prayer standing on this freedom land, there's one thing I'll say to the church.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.